Chapter 2. Mr. Bunsey had a lot of friends in Fairy Bottom, but what Mr. Bunsey was friendly with more than anything else was food. From Mr. Bunsey Has an Adventure. This was the plan, and it was a good plan. Even the rats, even Peaches, had to admit that it had worked. Everyone knew about plagues of rats. There were famous stories about the rat pipers who made their living going from town to town, getting rid of plagues of rats. Of course, there weren't just rat plagues. Sometimes there were plagues of accordion players, bricks tied up with string, or fish. But it was the rats everyone knew about. And that, really, was it. You didn't need many rats for a plague if they knew their business. One rat popping up here and there, squeaking loudly, taking a bath in the fresh cream and whittling in the flour, could be a plague all by themselves. After a few days of this, it was amazing how glad people were to see the stupid-looking kid with his magical rat pipe. And they were amazed when rats poured out of every hole to follow him out of town. They were so amazed about the fact that there were only a few hundred or so rats. They'd have been really amazed if they'd even found out that the rats and the piper met up with a cat somewhere in the bushes out of town and solemnly counted out the money. Bart Blintz was waking up when Morris entered with the kid. No one bothered them, although Morris got a lot of interest. This did not worry him. He knew he was interesting. Cats walked as if they owned the place anyway, and the world was full of stupid-looking kids, and people weren't rushing to see another one. It looked as though today was a market day, but there weren't many stalls, and they were mostly selling, well, junk. Old pans, pots, used shoes. The kind of things people have to sell when they're short of money. Morris had seen plenty of markets on their journey through other towns, and he knew how they should go. "There should be fat women selling chickens," he said, "and people selling sweets for the kids and ribbons. Tumblers and clowns, even weasel jugglers if you're lucky."
"There's nothing like that. There's hardly anything to buy by the look of it," said the kid. "I thought you said this was a rich town, Morris."
"Well, it looked rich," said Morris. "All those big fields in the valley, all those boats on the river. You'd think the streets would be paved with gold."
The kid looked up.
"Funny thing," he said.
"What?"
"The people look poor," he said. "It's the buildings that look rich."
And they did. Morris wasn't an expert on architecture, but the wooden buildings had been carefully carved and painted. He noticed something else, too. There was nothing careful about the sign that had been nailed up on the nearest wall. It said, "Rats. Wanted. Dead. 50 pence per tale. Apply to the Rat Catchers. Care of the Rat House." The kid was staring at it.
"They must really want to get rid of their rats here," said Morris cheerfully.
"No one has ever offered a reward of $0.50 a tale," said the kid.
"I told you this would be the big one," said Morris. "We'll be sitting on a pile of gold before the week's out."
"What's a rat house?" said the kid doubtfully. "It can't be a house for rats, can it? And why is everyone staring at you?"
"I'm a handsome-looking cat," said Morris.
Even so, it was a little surprising. People were nudging one another and pointing at him.
"You'd think they'd never seen a cat before," he muttered, staring at the big building across the street.
It was a big, square building, surrounded by people, and the sign said, "Rat House."
"Oh, Rat House is just a local word for a...
like the council house, the town hall," he said. "It's nothing to do with rats, amusing though it may be." "You really know a lot of words, Morris," said the kid admiringly.
"I amaze myself sometimes," said Morris.
A queue of people were standing in front of one huge open door. Other people, who had presumably done whatever it was the queue was queuing to do, were emerging from another doorway in ones and twos. They were all carrying loaves of bread.
"Shall we queue up too?" said the kid.
"I shouldn't think so," said Morris carefully.
"Why not?"
"See those men on the door? They look like watchmen. They got big truncheons, and everyone's showing them a bit of paper as they go past. I don't like the look of that," said Morris. "That looks like government to me."
"We haven't done anything wrong," said the kid. "Not here, anyway."
"You never know with governments," said Morris. "Just stay here, kid. I'll take a look."
People stared at Morris when he stalked into the building, but it seemed that in a town beset by rats, a cat was quite popular, and no one was inclined to turn him out. A man did try to pick him up, but lost interest when Morris turned and clawed the back of his hand. The queue wound into a big hall and passed in front of a long trestle table. There, each person showed their piece of paper to two women in front of a big tray of bread and were given some bread. Then they moved on to a man with a vat of sausages and got considerably less sausage. Watching over all this, and occasionally saying something to the food servers, was the mayor. Morris recognised him instantly because he had a gold chain round his neck. He'd run across a lot of mayors since working with the rats. This one was different from the rest. He was smaller, far more worried, and had got a bald spot that he'd tried to cover with three strands of hair. He was a lot thinner than the other mayors Morris had seen, too. He didn't look as though he'd been bought by the ton. So, food is scarce, Morris thought. They're having to ration it out. Looks like they'll be needing a piper any day now. Lucky for us, we arrived just in time. He walked out again, but this time a bit faster, because he realised that someone was playing a pipe. It was, as he feared, the kid. He'd do it if you left him alone for any length of time. He'd put his cap on the ground in front of him, and had even accumulated a few coins. The queue had bent around so that people could hear him, and one or two small children were dancing. Morris was only an expert on cat singing, which consists of standing 2 inches in front of another cat and screaming at them until they give in. Human music always sounded thin and watery to him, but people tapped their feet when they heard the kid play. They smiled for a while. Morris waited until the kid had finished the tune. While the queue was clapping, he sidled up behind the kid, brushed up against him and hissed, "Well done, fish for brains. We're supposed to be inconspicuous. Come on, let's go. Oh, grab the money, too." He led the way across the square until he stopped so suddenly that the kid almost walked into him. "Whoops, here comes some more government," he said. "And we know what these are, don't we?" The kid did. They were rat catchers, two of them. Even here, they wore the long, dusty coats and battered black top hats of their profession. They each carried a pole over one shoulder, from which dangled a variety of traps. From the other shoulder hung a big bag, the kind you really wouldn't want to look inside. And each man had a terrier on a string. They were skinny, argumentative dogs, and they growled at Morris when they were dragged past. The queue cheered as the men approached, and clapped when they both reached into their bags and held up a couple of handfuls of what looked, to Morris, like black string.
200 today, shouted one of the rat catchers.
One of the terriers lunged at Morris, tugging frantically on his string. The cat didn't move. Probably only the stupid-looking kid heard him say in a low voice, "Heel, flea bag, bad dog." The terrier's face screwed up in the horribly worried expression of a dog trying to have two thoughts at the same time. It knew cats shouldn't talk, and this cat had just talked. This posed a terrible problem. The dog sat down awkwardly and whined. Morris washed himself. It was a deadly insult. The rat catcher, annoyed at such a cowardly performance from his dog, jerked it away and dropped a few of the black strings. "Rat's tails," said the kid. "They really must have a problem here." "A bigger one than you think," said Morris, staring at the bunch of tails. "Just pick those up when no one's looking, will you?" The kid waited until people weren't looking towards them and reached down. Just as his fingers touched the tangle of tails, a large, shiny black boot trod heavily on it.
"Now you don't want to go touching them, young sir," said a voice above him. "You can get plague, you know, from rats. It makes your legs explode."
It was one of the rat catchers. He gave the kid a big grin, but it was not a humorous one. It smelled of beer.
"That's right, young sir, and then your brains come down your nose," said the other rat catcher behind the kid. "You wouldn't dare use your hanky, young sir, if you got the plague."
"My associate has, as usual, put his finger right on it, young sir," said the first rat catcher, breathing more beer into the kid's face.
"Which is more than you'd be able to do, young sir," said Rat Catcher 2, "because when you get the plague, your fingers go all—" "Your legs haven't exploded," said the kid.
Morris groaned. It was never a good idea to be rude to a smell of beer. But the rat catchers were at a stage where, against all the odds, they thought they were funny.
"Ah, well said, young sir. But that's because Lesson 1 at the Guild of Rat Catchers School is not letting your legs explode," said Rat Catcher 1.
"'Which is a good thing, cause the second lesson is upstairs,' said Ratcatcher 2. "'Oh, I am a one, aren't I, young sir?'
The other Ratcatcher picked up the bundle of black strings, and his smile faded as he stared at the kid.
"'Ain't I seen you before, kid?' he said. "'And my advice to you is, keep your nose clean and don't say nothing to nobody about anything. Not a word. Understand?'
The kid opened his mouth and then shut it hurriedly. The Ratcatcher grinned his awful grin again.
"'Ah, you'll catch on quick, young sir,' he said. "'Perhaps we'll see you around, eh?'
The kid nodded. It seemed the best thing to do. Ratcatcher 1 leaned down until his red, pockmarked nose was an inch away from the kid's face.
"'If you grow up, young sir,' he said.
The Ratcatchers walked away, dragging their dogs with them. One of the terriers kept looking back at Morris.
"'Very unusual rat-catchers they have hereabouts,' said the cat. "'I haven't seen rat-catchers like them before,' said the kid. "'They looks nasty, like they enjoyed it.'
"'I haven't seen rat-catchers who've been so busy, but still have nice clean boots,' said Morris.
"'Yes, they did, didn't they?' said the kid.
"'But even that's not as odd as the rats around here,' said Morris, in the same quiet voice, as though he was adding up money.
"'What's odd about the rats?' said the kid.
"'Some of them have very strange tails,' said Morris.
The kid looked round the square. The queue for bread was still quite long, and it made him nervous. But so did the steam. Little bursts of it puffed up from gratings and manhole covers all over the place, as if the whole town had been built on a kettle. Also, he had the distinct feeling that someone was watching him.
"'I think we ought to find the rats and move on,' he said.
"'No, this smells like a town with opportunities,' said Morris. "'Something's going on, and when something's going on, that means someone's getting rich. And when someone's getting rich, I don't see why that should be... us.'
"'Yes.' "'But we don't want those people killing dangerous beans and the rest of them.'
"'They won't get caught,' said Morris. "'Those men wouldn't win any prizes for thinking. "'Even ham and pork could run rings round them, I'd say. "'And dangerous beans has got brains coming out of his ears.
"'I hope not.'
"'Nah,' said Morris,
who generally told people what they wanted to hear.
"'I mean, our rats can outthink most humans, okay?' "'Remember back in Scroat when sardines got in that kettle "'and blew a raspberry at the old woman when she lifted the lid? "'Ha! "'Even ordinary rats can outthink humans. "'Humans think that just because they're bigger, they're better. "'Hold on. I'll shut up. "'Someone's watching us.'
"'A man carrying a basket had stopped on his way out of the rat house "'and was staring at Morris with a good deal of interest. "'Then he looked up at the kid and said,
"'Good ratter, is he?' "'I'll bet he is. Big cat like that. Is he yours, boy?'
"'Say yes,' Morris whispered.
"'Sort of, yes,' said the kid.
He picked Morris up.
"'I'll give you $5 for him,' said the man.
"'Ask for 10,' Morris hissed.
"'He's not for sale,' said the kid.
"'Idiot,' Morris purred.
$7, then,' said the man. "'Look, I tell you what I'll do. 4 whole loaves, but—'
"'That's silly. A loaf of bread shouldn't cost more than 20 pence,' said the kid.
The man gave him a strange look.
"'New here, are you? Got plenty of money, have you?'
"'Enough,' said the kid.
"'You think so? It won't do you much good anyway. Look, 4 loaves of bread and a bun. I can't say fairer than that. I can get a terrier for 10 loaves, and they're mad for rats. No? Well, when you're hungry, you'll give it away for 1/2 a slice of bread and scrape, and think you've done well, believe me.
Scrape. You scrape the butter on, then you scrape the butter off. Then you eat the bread.' He strode off. Morris wriggled out of the kid's arms and landed lightly on the cobbles.
"'Honestly, if only I was good at ventriloquism, we could have made a fortune,' he grumbled.
"'Ventriloquism?'
said the kid, watching the man's retreating back.
"'It's where you open and shut your mouth and I do the talking,' said Morris. "'Why didn't you sell me? I could have been back in 10 minutes. I heard of a man who made a fortune selling homing pigeons, and he only had the one.'
"'But don't you think there's something wrong with a town "'where people would pay more than a dollar for a loaf of bread?'
said the kid.
and pay $0.50 just for a rat's tail?'
"'Just so long as they've got enough money to pay their piper,' said Morris. "'Bit of luck there already being a plague of rats here, eh? "'Quick, pat me on the head, there's a girl watching us.'
"'The kid looked up. "'There was a girl watching them. "'People were passing up and down the street, "'and some of them walked between the kid and the girl, "'but she stood stock still and just stared at him. "'And at Morris. "'She had the same nail-you-to-the-wall look "'that he associated with Peaches.' She looked like the kind of person who asked questions. And her hair was too red, and her nose was too long, and she wore a long black dress with black lace fringing. No good comes of that sort of thing. She marched across the street and confronted the kid.
"'You're new, aren't you? Come here looking for work, have you? Probably sacked from your last job, I expect. Probably because you fell asleep and things got spoiled. That was probably what it was.' "'Or you ran away because your master beat you with a big stick, although,' she added, as another idea struck her, "'you probably deserved it because of being lazy. "'And then you probably stole the cat, knowing how much people would pay for a cat here. "'And you must have gone mad with hunger because you were talking to the cat, "'and everyone knows that cats can't talk.'
"'Can't say a single word,' said Morris.
"'And probably you're a mysterious boy who—'
The girl stopped and gave Morris a puzzled look. He arched his back and said, "Prrrt," which is cat language for biscuits.
"'Did that cat just say something?' she asked. "'I thought that everyone knew that cats can't talk,' said the kid. "'Ah, but maybe you were apprenticed to a wizard,' said the girl. "'Yes, that sounds about right. That'll do for now. You were an apprentice to a wizard, but you fell asleep and let the cauldron of bubbling green stuff boil over, and he threatened to turn you into a
"'Gerbil?' said Morris helpfully.
"'A gerbil? And you stole his magical cat because you hated it so much, and—'
"'What's a gerbil?
Did that cat just say gerbil?'
"'Don't look at me,' said the kid. "'I'm just standing here.'
"'All right.' "'And then you brought the cat here because you know there's a terrible famine, "'and that's why you were going to sell it, "'and that man would have given you $10, you know, if you'd held out for it.'
$10 is too much money even for a good ratter,' said the kid.
"'Ratter? He wasn't interested in catching rats,' said the red-headed girl. "'Everyone's hungry here. There's at least 2 meals on that cat.'
"'What? You eat cats here?' said Morris, his tail fluffing like a brush."
The girl leaned down to Morris with a dreadful grin, just like the one that Peaches always wore when she'd won an argument with him, and prodded him on the nose with a finger.
"'Got you,' she said. "'You fell for a very simple trick. I think you two had better come with me, don't you? Or I'll scream. And people listen to me when I'm screaming.'